If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. The day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of its existence. Nikola Tesla.
Welcome to the Frequency Shifter Show. I'm your host, Corinne Summers, founder of Artisan Pharmacy. In this show, we explore ways to raise the frequency of ourselves, one another, and our planet. We're digging deep into all things metaphysical, from what is frequency, to the power of sound, the Schumann resonance, our DNA, Reiki, the energy of water, and beyond. All to shift our minds and bodies back into alignment with richer states of connection, elevated awareness, and maximum human potential. And we're bringing on the global experts and thought leaders to share their wisdom as they let us pick their brains around all these juicy, mysterious topics.
First of all, I don't know who Ricky is and metaphysical. Schumann's Renaissance? I don't even know. What are you talking about? Wait a minute. I need us to take a step back and calm down. What are we even talking about here?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention, I have a co-host. The universe insisted. What can I say? This is Alex Terranova, founder of Dream Mason. He's sort of a newbie to some of this frequency stuff, and he's going to help keep everything balanced, grounded, and relatable.
So this show isn't just for the experts to nerd out on all things metaphysical, but it's an open welcome space for everyone to explore the mysteries of the universe and raise our frequencies together.
Hello, fellow frequency shifters. Excited to have you back. This time, checking in with Alex and I for a mid-season review. We are so excited to have just wrapped up our first 5 episodes where we covered things like energy healing, Ayurveda, megalithic sites and different energy portals. We also covered witchcraft and had a PhD of metaphysics on as well. So really exciting episode talking about all things frequency. But it brought a lot of different things up as well. Specifically, I'm remembering some conversations from the Ayurveda episode, as well as the episode with Sheetal, where we talked a lot about sacred geometry and different life meanings. But this issue has continuously sparked up for me related to our relationship to technology. And specifically alignment. What things are we aligning ourselves with through technology in addition to other key areas of our life? I think this is something that is, at least in my coaching relationship with conscious entrepreneurs, myself, like this is something that's kind of gone off the handle in the last 2 years, which is understandable. We're spending more time at home. People are working from home. We're spending more time online. There's more scary stuff online that like draws you in. I want to start a conversation on what is and isn't healthy because it's a new frontier that we haven't really explored yet. And that's interesting to think about.
Ugh, you're like hitting my, we didn't plan out that we were going to talk about this. And I think it was a few days ago that I deleted like all the Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, all the apps off my phone. Which basically have me not look at my phone.
Whoa, huge move to delete, not mute.
No, delete.
Notifications, like full delete mode.
Like, I mean, they exist right out in the ether, but not on my phone. And I've done this, like I did it once intentionally before where took it off for like a month. It was like a planned, right? It was like almost like a detox. And like, we talk about that, but this wasn't planned. This was more of a, I don't know how to say it different than like, I hate everyone and everything, and I don't want to see it. And I don't really obviously hate everyone and everything. I think when I say that, it's more like I'm disappointed with humanity. I'm disappointed with myself. I'm disappointed with people. I'm disappointed with government. Like, I'm just disappointed, right? With like how like unkind and unempathetic and, you know, all people all over the place, right? This isn't about anybody specific or any specific people that believe in anything. And that I just, you know, that social media, all these apps, they're not just social media, right? They're news, they're information, like it's everything is in these places. And I just noticed I just like couldn't be with it. I was like, I got to get rid of this. I have to delete all this off my phone. I also even noticed just, you know, I'm watching a movie and I'm looking at my phone at the same time. I'm by the pool and I'm looking at my phone. I'm walking the dog, I'm looking at my phone. And most of the time, I don't know about you, that's what I'm looking at, right? One of these apps. I'm not like just on the internet, like looking around. I'm using one of these things. And what I noticed to kind of bring it back is it was making me unhappy. It was making me frustrated. It was making me tired. It was making me like really pessimistic and bitter. And then that would then impact my relationship or other things, right? I'd come from there and I'd bring it into other areas of my life. And so it messed with my relationship. It would mess with workouts. It would mess with, you know, dog walking, right? Like everything. So I totally feel you. Like, I don't know how to manage it. Like I have it down where I, you know, my phone goes on airplane mode when I go to bed. Mm-hmm. And so there's nothing happening during that. But otherwise, it's kind of, it like seems like it's in charge.
Case in point, like this is the big problem. I think everybody is feeling that way. I know I felt that way for a really long time. And that is what got me to have like, I have like some laser focused tech boundary rules and things that that was something I kind of wanted to share because these are things that have really helped me. And it's interesting because I've actually noticed it coming back recently. So it's interesting now as someone who like, I feel like I healed that. Like I actually have become completely disconnected from my technology. And I use technology for business some, but I've changed also some of the way I do business because technology is so, you know, as a conscious entrepreneur, technology is like a moving freaking, it's constantly a moving target. So you're kind of screwing yourself to put all your eggs in one basket. And I had some just really bad habits and it was affecting my relationships too. Like I was always on my phone and I felt addicted to it. Like you said, like it was weird because it was like an actual, it felt like an addiction. Like I have to check it right now. And like, if I hadn't checked it in so long, I would like want to check it. So I started to do things like put it on airplane mode, limit text, do not disturb, things like that. But I'd also kind of on the sideways side, like made me kind of a bad friend. And in terms of like showing up for people sometimes, because I now have all my notifications muted all the time. And, you know, as one of my best friends, like someone made
I get arrested, you're the last person I'm calling.
At least one person has made the joke that if they get arrested or like something traumatic is happening, they're not calling me. And I sort of take it as a compliment because I've done a really good job like setting boundaries in my relationships and expectations of my role in technology. And I feel really free. I feel really good. I feel really at peace. I feel great. Honestly, like when I get upset about stuff, like I go outside, I'll put my phone on airplane mode or whatever, like leave it. I leave it sometimes, although it is admittedly still, it's hard for me to leave it behind. But I will at least like put it on airplane mode a ton. So it's just like not buzzing technology at me all the time. And even that makes a difference. I also shut my router off at night. Like I'm really careful about my exposure to too much technology and too much of the, you know, you're kind of just filling your brain with things to then think about later. Like you're filling your mind with garbage. And like you said, you carry it through.
Yeah. And it's so scary to leave it. So I've been in a conversation with my assistant to take over all my social media. So something I noticed with my coach. So, right. I as a coach, I have a coach and I work on my own shit, just like I would advise anyone to. And I was having this conversation.
You're here. I do too.
I was having my conversation with my coach about how like I love creating. Like I like creating podcasts, I like writing books, I like creating videos that go online, but I don't like the everything else that has to do with that. I don't want to be like commenting. I don't want to be liking things. You know, I talked to this guy who was like, the key to social media is to run around and like everyone else's stuff and comment on everyone else's stuff. Because when you do good things for other people, it like comes back. And I was like, wow, that's like a really great strategy. And like, it makes a lot of sense. And I don't want to do it. I don't want to run around like commenting and liking. And like, that's not how I want to spend my time in my life. And so, and I haven't found in, I don't know how many years, like an effective and empowered way to use social media so that it supports my life and my business and my happiness and all those things. So I've been in this conversation with my assistant about all my job will just be to create. So I'll write, you know, if I have thoughts, I'll write them and I'll put them in a document. I'll write longer things that could be like posts or blogs or whatever. I'll film videos and I'll just drop everything into different folders in Google Drive. And it'll be his job to then go on social media and like post them, whatever. And we've been talking about this for a little while. And I'm like, I noticed like I haven't moved it forward. Because there's this part of like, what if he does it wrong? What if he messes something up? What if, you know, we live in a world now where I actually have friends that don't even text me. They message me on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Well, what about, are they going to not, you know, like it's irrational. It's like fear in your mind. Like I'm making up all the reasons.
Can I bust them for you?
That's an addiction though, right? Like I'm literally... Yeah. If we were talking about, you totally can hold it and just hold it for a second. If we were talking about alcohol and I was like, hey, alcohol is not serving me. I wake up, I'm drinking it throughout the day. You know, like it's impacting my relationships. We'd be like, well, you have a, like a substance abuse issue. And then if I was like, well, you know, but like my relationships kind of depend on it. We have a good time when we hang out and drink, and me and my wife like drink wine together, right? You'd be like, hey, you notice like you're justifying, this is what addiction does, right? It like doesn't work. But when you try to let go of the thing that doesn't work, it knows how to manipulate you. So you don't let it go. And it's no different. My relationship with social media is exactly the same.
Hmm. When you put it that way, it's pretty direct comparison.
It's
kind of that's scary since 100% of people are pretty much addicted to their phones is what's scary. The other thing I've noticed, which just because of the work that I do, I can't help but draw my conclusions about it, like having an impact on stress and anxiety, because stress and anxiety is through the roof. Yes, because of the pandemic, but also mostly the fear, like a lot of the fear that's coming through is something that is sitting with a lot of people and they're carrying it way into their entire life. And that's something that we have to deal with now that people didn't have to deal with before. We're not meant to process that in much trauma and that information. And I think thinking of it from that way, you can give yourself grace and compassion and also protection. Because it's like an energy protection thing. Like technology is an energy too. Everything is an energy, right? That's what we talk about here. And everything in like too much of any energy. Like you said, if it was too much in any other area of your life, you would notice it differently. You would be gaining weight or have an addiction or right. This habit, like it's internal. So people aren't talking about it as much, which is another whole nother problem. You know,
but I do, and we do notice it, right? I'm noticing that I'm like more angry. I'm like more sad. I'm more like volatile in my emotions. Right. And I don't, and here's the thing.
You're really good at noticing and getting in touch with your emotions though. And not everybody is. Not everybody has the tools and the skills, which again, why we're doing this podcast, the other reason we're doing this podcast, but, and why we're coaches and help people in every day, but
I don't know what to do. Right. Just so I notice those things, but I don't necessarily know what to do with them. And I don't know how to create. Right. Like here, let's use a different example instead of it being like our phones or technology. Let's just say it was like the news, just straight news. Let's for the sake of this conversation, let's just say that the news was 100% real and not biased all the time. Right. And that I was noticing that the news makes me sad because it tells a lot of like things that people are dealing with, that whether I'm dealing with them or not, people are dealing with them all over the world. And I went, well, man, because it makes me sad, I don't want to watch it. Or because it makes me angry, I'm not going to watch it. And then it's like, but then I feel like, well, that's such a privileged place to be that I just don't have to know what's happening because it's not affecting me. Mm-hmm. There's this, just because I know that it's not working for me doesn't mean that like putting it aside is the answer, right? It's kind of like, that's kind of like black or white. It's like, well, if it works for you, if it doesn't work for you, put it aside. There's things like, I think we live in a world that you can't just put technology aside, right? If you want to go be a monk and live in a cave, that's fine. Like, I'm sort of jealous, but that for most of us, that's just not going to be how we live. So for a long time, I've been like, what if I got a flip phone? And it's like, that would be amazing. But do you know how horrible it would be to send a text message on a flip phone? Right?
Oh, like, yeah.
And so...
And you wouldn't communicate. Nobody would communicate with you.
Nobody would communicate with me, right? Except for like the phone calls. I would talk to my mom on the phone all the time. Yeah.
You'd have a great relationship with your mom on the pro side.
Yeah. Yeah. But it doesn't actually serve. Our answers to things can never be yes or no, right? It ends up like we get left, right? So, and right now, most of us are in a yes conversation with technology. And there's a few people who have said no, and they just kind of like cold turkey, walk away. Mm-hmm. They don't interact with it at all. But that's so rare for most of us, finding that in between or that gray area that works.
And it's unrealistic.
We don't even know how to find a gray area, because our systems, our structures, the technology companies, the people around us, like, right to your point, if I got a flip phone, if I was like, hey, I'm going to get a flip phone, so I'm not getting rid of my communication, you can still talk to me. The world, we've set up a world where everybody just wants to text. So nobody would talk to me, right? There'd be a few people that would call me once in a while to have phone conversations, but like-
But you can't even text. I thought you could at least text on a phone.
You can on T9. You're going to hit like 8-4 times to get a U or something. Like, come on. It's like, too ridiculous. I'm going to be texting in like pager code. I'm going to be like 143.
Just use emojis. They're like hieroglyphs.
Oh my God. But the point is, right? Like, it feels like a trap. Like, I can't. We're it all in. So I'm actually saying
that. Because it kind of is a trap, because it's really hard to do. It's like an addictive thing. It's like chips. Like, I can't open a bag of chips and eat one chip. That is not going to happen. You know, it is going to be lots of chips if I open the bag of chips. And so, but I can restrain, I can actually like, I cannot have a chip. Like, it's very easy for me to like not do things when you have belief behind them. So to me, that's actually what always makes sense. I bought in because I felt like it was destructive to my life. And so I was like, it's destructive enough that I want to change this thing. And I'm going to do that. And, you know, this is part of my journey also through like Lyme and learning about what causes my stress and learning I was an anxious person and like figuring all of that out. Right. And now that I've realized these things aren't good for me, I'm my best me without them. I don't know. That was motivating for me. That's not maybe a motivating thing for everybody. It is for a lot of the people I work with and coach with, I think, because we're of that mindset of like growth and like I can decide something like that and just make it happen in a way that works for me and find the balance that works for my unique needs. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what, like, I don't know. I'm going to stop there. I feel like you have something wise.
Let me ask you some questions. Like, okay, so.
And we're fleshing this out like as we talk. So.
Let's ask. So you've done some of this. So if you know,
what do you want to know? Like, what are your, so what, you, what do you feel frustrated
with? Well, so this is where I find that this is where it feels like the conflicts are so challenging. And I bet other people can get this. So I wanted to turn off my Wi-Fi router at night, but my home security system runs off Wi-Fi. So if I turn off my Wi-Fi router, like the alarms on my doors, my windows, whatever.
You're actually safer because hackers target homes with security and not homes without security definitions. Well, they know how to hack it. So they actually look for the houses that have the security.
Hack it for what? What are they hacking it? What are they hacking
it for? I just wanted to give you the NSA.
Like, I'm not worried about being hacked.
No, I mean, that's how they break into houses now. If someone was actually going to break into your home, they would break into a home that had a computer, because you can hack a computer. You can't always hack a lock that people have on their physical door without being.
Well, you still have to use a key to get in the door. I mean, like, but the point.
I'm just kidding.
The point is like, hey, so now we have, our lives are so woven together, right? I want to get rid of my phone, but no one will talk to me if I get a flip phone, right?
You might have to clap your hands to shut your light off before you go to bed. It's completely possible. A lot of people, no, I'm being serious. That wasn't a joke. A lot of people do that. A lot of my clients are like, I literally have, and my phone, they tell me their phone goes, they go to sleep with their phone, like on or under their pillow. And I'm like, please don't do that. Your brain is running that technology all night. Please put a sleep playlist that plays Delta and Gamma and sleep waves, or, you know, the stuff that is going to biohack your brain for really good sleep, because your most important recovery is when you sleep. And the brain only recovers at night when you're sleeping. So that's a fun fact I actually learned recently. It does not recover during and restore during any other part of the day. Your brain only recovers at night. Your brain is constantly being taxed by technology all day long. And then you sleep with it connected to your head.
Yeah. I mean, I have a good, you know,
turning your Wi-Fi off is a really important thing. And also putting your phone on airplane mode, download a sleep playlist and start and do that if you possibly can.
Well, and there's so many people that don't want you. I remember when I started putting my phone on airplane mode, I had people literally in my family who were like, what if there's an emergency? I'm like, call 911. And they're like, no, but like, if they're, you know, and I'm like, well, it's just, I'm not willing to, like, I'm turning my phone off. Like that's just something I'm doing. So if there's an emergency, I'll find out about it when I wake up. It's not like I could have saved anyone's life anyway. That's not my skill set. So, but I think like, that's right. Like that's what I'm talking about, is we've created a system that makes living outside of the system so difficult. So, right.
Like
my computer, my internet, my home security, like my fire alarms, like everything, whatever it is like all linked together. And so trying to create like a gray area of support for yourself is just feels like almost impossible. So tell
people. I feel that way too. I know you're trying to get some things out of me that I'm not giving you, because there is a rebuttal to everything. Yeah, so use your language that it is just an excuse that you can do it, and you can find ways that work for you uniquely to do it. You don't have to do all of the things, but you can find a few things.
Like
don't get a flip phone. No, don't get a flip phone, and don't go on social media. Taking a break is healthy. Social media breaks are healthy. It doesn't matter how long they are. I think we should not become victim to this social structure of, you know, why are we so obsessed with like time and frequency and it's like, no, life is not always like that. Humans are not like that. We actually are not. And we are not meant to have that much stimulus 100% of the time. So we have to find some way to bear against it. And you get to choose which things are appropriate and can work for you. If you're like, I have to sleep by the phone by my head, but I can do something else, there are a lot of ways to mitigate. There are tons of new products out now that are EMF legitimate, science-backed EMF protectors for all kinds of things. There's even like really great headphones that are, I heard, iPhone compatible. I'm just about to try them. So I'll report back, but that minimize the technology that's like going into your ears. And people have reported like feeling a lot calmer when they're like, people that are using them all day that have noticeably had a relief after not having that technology buzzing in their ears. Because that is an impact that I think we don't really think about. Like, it's having an energetic impact on me kind of constantly, and it's wearing me down. And then it's using up my energy that I might have for something else that's more valuable and meaningful to me. Because we only have so much. I always think of things, and this is again because of my kind of health background and solving my Lyme disease issue and overcoming it, is like I had to create a picture for myself. I was like, oh, I have so much energy to use a day, and I am committed to a lifestyle of wellness. And for me, that means a certain amount of chopping vegetables, taking my green juice, going outside, breathing fresh air. Like, they're really the basics: hydration and sleep. Like, they're those core, exercise, outside, like the core things that we all talk about that we, I guess, probably don't want to hear, but those should be priorities, I think, before social media, and that social media time should be limited. You should put a timer on yourself if you have to make a limit, and notice how much time stresses you. Where's your balance? Find your own balance. Where is it for you? You don't know, but you won't try. The whole thing.
I'm still over here like, I'm gonna buy a flip phone.
It's the only way. Does anything of that resonate?
Well, I think like it does, and it feels, I think that's the thing that it feels really obvious, is when something's an addiction, you actually are powerless to it, right? If we were talking about, you actually can't give someone a strategy. This might be like a big part of the problem. If we were having a conversation about porn, if I was like, I can't stop watching porn, I'm late to meetings, it's like on in the background, right? I'm distracted by it, like whatever. You can't just tell me to turn it off. it doesn't actually work. It's not, I'm not actually able to. My brain is as hardwired in an addictive process to something.
Yes.
And we could say that about, and I used porn on purpose because it's not like a substance I actually ingest, right? It's not like smoking or alcohol. It's ingested through different sense, right? Through my eyes and through my emotions. Yeah. But I think our phones in a way are like that because, right, we're talking about something that we become addicted to. At least like I'm relating to it is that like, it feels like I'm addicted to the phone. And not just the things on it, but it itself. And I think that we can't even use just like common sense or strategies or boundaries. That just doesn't break an addiction. There's a reason why AA is the most successful of its kind. And it's like, I think AA's success rate is only like 30% or something. It's not even a...
Wow, really?
Oh my God, it's... Yeah, it might even be less than that. Like you can, I'm throwing out numbers here that aren't accurate, but like.
I know there is some science behind technology and addiction too. Some really good stats out there, but I don't have them handy. Or like I said, I didn't know we were going to chat about this. And so I wish I had them with me, but they're kind of scary, especially kids' brains. They're really impressionable by technology. It changes they're just finding this out now that it changes the permanent formation of their brain somehow. And like the way it relates to memory and different things, because kids are getting on it so early. Like our generation didn't grow up like that. Like I had first technology in like high school and, you know, Facebook came out, I think I was a freshman in college. Yeah. It was like my end of my senior year, freshman in college. So we're like the first group to go through like adult life fully online, which is something to think about because it's like a totally new frontier and new areas. And we're the first people like, I don't know, is there a technology support group? Maybe we should start one.
I'm sure there is. I mean, there's definitely, look, I'm going to, let's see, while we're on here.
Oh yeah. You're good at looking stuff.
Addiction support. Let's see what comes up. If you Google phone addiction support, phone addiction, warning signs and treatment, addictioncenter.com. Hold on, let's look at what.
Okay. It's on Addiction Center?
Hold on, listen. Phone addiction is the obsessive use of a smartphone. The behavioral addiction is often dubbed as nomophobia or the fear of being without a mobile phone. There are over 3.8 billion smartphone users in the world, and research published by Virgin Mobile discovered the users receive 427% more messages and notifications than they did a decade ago, 278 more texts. Smartphones are designed to be addictive.
Send me that. Put it in the chat.
Here, the negative effects of phone addiction. Chronic phone addiction, it's still acknowledged as a behavioral addiction. And it basically, it impacts people much like gambling. So phone addiction may lead to sleep deficit, lower concentration, creative blocks, aggravated ADD, anxiety, reduced cognition, stress, loneliness, insecurity, impaired relationship, poor grades, psychological disorders. Whoa.
Pretty complete list.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like half the people I know anymore have ADD and sleep deprivation is so huge. It's in my corporate wellness business. It's my number two requested workshop to burnout, sleep and burnout. Everybody is sleep deprived and burned out. It's like the only topics people want to talk about.
So do you want to hear the signs of phone addiction?
I'm sure we just listed them all and we were recapping our own behaviors.
So lying about your smartphone use. I don't do that. Loved ones expressing concern. I don't know that loved ones express concern, but neglect or trouble.
I don't know. Do I count for that since people told me that they wouldn't use me as an emergency contact?
Maybe. Neglect or trouble completing duties, work at school. I definitely, and I think other people do, you're distracted. More and more time using a phone for sure. Checking people's profiles repeatedly due to anxiety. Now, I don't do that, but I bet, you know, a lot of people do. Accidents or injury due to phone use. Now, I haven't had any accidents or injury, but I definitely should probably not be using it at certain times when I'm operating heavy machinery. Working later to complete tasks, definitely. Weaker non-existent social life, that's for sure me. Isolation from loved ones, yes. A feeling of lack of connection, yes. Angry or irritated, yes. Getting up at night to check a phone, I don't do that. Reaching for the phone the moment you're alone or bored, definitely. Phantom vibrations, definitely. Limiting phone use is difficult, definitely. Craving access to a smartphone or another device, sure. And fear of missing out, 100%. It says my.
How many do you need to be phone addicted?
It sounds as my chances of recovery are limited. That's what it says next.
No, it does not. It
doesn't say.
There's no way. Oh man, I almost bought it for a second.
Wait, now since we're saying
you're sovereign, you're free, and you're fully capable of doing it, I believe in you. I'll be your sponsor in technology support group.
Because I just said this, we should just tell people if you are listening and you're suffering from phone addiction, we're not addiction specialists here. You should go to addictioncenter.com. And if you're suffering from any form of addiction, you should probably go to addictioncenter.com.
Yes, which also more people are because of the pandemic. So it's basically screwed because like everybody's life went home in the house, right? So like all the home things are blowing up.
We're also, Joe, like we're making fun of this in a way. Like we're not making fun of addiction. We're making fun of my addiction. But
we're not making fun. We're supporting you and getting the right treatment.
But I think it's important to say, like, this isn't funny. You know, there's like, for whatever reason, I manage to have a life that functions and works, right? I have a healthy, for the most part, like a healthy relationship. I'm a healthy person. I have a healthy business, right? Like my life is not crumbling at the seams. And yet I'm struggling with this and not just phone, but technology in general. And I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that are like actually having a much harder time than I am.
Yeah. I mean, I know I struggle with a lot of anxiety when I'm like that. And like you said, I'm like more short-tempered. I just don't have the bandwidth for really anything else. It literally feels like it zaps my energy.
So
and a lot of people, I know a lot of people can't get away from it. And it's hard, especially at work. If like, regardless of your work environment, most people are working from a computer, at least in some capacity these days. And you can't always change or speak up at work. Right. So
not if you work for Tesla, not allowed. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, wait, it's lost on me for right now. No.
Oh man, Elon, there's a whole bunch of lawsuits because like, you know, Elon Musk, Mr. Free Speech, but like whenever anybody speaks out about Elon Musk in a negative way, he like comes down hard, you know, he like sues them or fires them. Tesla has like all these lawsuits against them for essentially mistreatment of employees and like shutting out, like, it's like very hypocritical, but it was a joke. I didn't mean to go there.
Oh man. Yeah. No, I didn't realize that.
We're going to get murdered now because we talked about Elon Musk publicly on a podcast and he's the most beautiful man in the world.
I love Elon Musk. I love his energy.
So if y'all don't, without saying who it is, I just recently hung out with somebody who has been in meetings with Elon Musk and he's like, dude, the guy has zero, like he's on the spectrum. He has zero social cues. He like doesn't understand why he disrespects people and like is like yells at people in ways that is so inappropriate. He basically is an asshole. But we like think he's like, we love him. And it's like, we love these people that have this like freedom to act like they can do whatever they want because we can't, we wish we could, but we don't think about how it impacts the people that are around us.
Yeah. And I mean, I have a lot of friends that work for Jeff Bezos and he's the same too. I think a lot of people at the top are ruled that way. And I don't know. It's interesting because he's also very smart and he's creating a lot of positive things. It's interesting how you give people more grace when they're doing something good, supposedly for humanity. We probably shouldn't be talking about this.
We don't know.
I don't know.
We have no idea. Like I said to you before we start record, often, and if you watch any like James Bond movie or like any like Star Wars, James Bond, any like of those classic kind of movies, the supervillain always has the noblest intentions. the supervillain is going to clean up our world. It's going to end disease. It's going to end climate change. It's going to make everyone freer and more abundant. But yet their route, even in Marvel movies, but the route to the perfect utopian world is always like, we have to kill half the people to do that. Wait, what?
I'm sorry.
But it's like the most noble cause that, and they're just like, yeah, we're helping. We're doing good.
The interesting truth about perception, because it is so up to the individual and bringing it back to consciousness and living at a high frequency. That's an interesting challenge. You brought this up earlier as well. Like, what do you do with the moral, like the moral, or when our moral compass is pulled one way? You had brought that up as well. Like, what happens when our moral compass is pulled one way, but we know like this is good for me?
Yeah. Well, like, look, if
you, and I think it's overall, we have to find balance within.
Look, if you could kill me and it would like make everyone else in the world like be fully fed and like hydrated, and so there'd be no more hungry or thirsty people, and I had to die, and you'd be like, when like a lot of people would be like, whoa, that's one person for like whatever, but like who gives you that? Like, why do you get to decide that I should be that person? And like that, and I think that's the thing, is like under a noble guise of like, but everybody will have food and water, or like if you could kill me and the environment would then just be perfect all over again. It's like, sure, I get why, but like, you know, it's like that noble thing. Well, like it's the greater good, but who says, right? Like who says, you know, what the greater good is? We've like so gone down like a whole different rabbit hole. I think we should end this episode.
I know. I don't want to talk about this last couple of things on here, I don't think.
Well, it's already been.
Yeah. Well, can we re-record an ending?
I don't know. I think this is so natural. This feels really natural and free. You don't want us to talk about Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos on our podcast? Actually, because they could like murder us. At least if we suddenly get murdered by like audience, if either one of us by any random situations, direct the authorities back to this episode and see if our bodies can be found or dug up out of ditches somewhere.
And a reminder to all of us to stay away from addictions and our phones.
Yeah. And keep listening to the Frequency Shifters.
We have a lot of really cool stuff coming up in the second half as well.
What do we have coming up?
Where we're talking about, hold on, I actually have to double check. We know we had, we did the channeling episodes. We did one in the last season, which was on Mount Shasta, which was really, really cool, taking place at an actual energy portal. But then back to back, ironically or not ironically, and perfect synchronistically, our very first episode of the next round after this is another like kind of channeled and a lot more information on what is channeling, who do people channel, how does it happen, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's another Ayurvedic episode.
Basically, and another witchcraft episode where we talk a lot about what spells really are. We demystify a lot of witchcraft in the two episodes that are covered on this season. So I was glad about that because, you know, not getting too deep, but just I believe we're healing a witch wound and healer wound of the past. And, you know, it's coming out in this generation. And that is actually really important to demystify what it is, and also empower ourselves that every action we take, every alignment, every word, every thought is essentially a spell and something that we're creating in our life. That message really ran home for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah. I think, yeah, the stuff about, I love the witchcraft episodes of this season, which there are two of. I think I never really thought about witchcraft so much. But you can really see that like it's just a name more so than anything, and that we're all kind of practicing spells and intention in various ways. And if you're listening and you're like, we're all practicing spells. We're all finding ways to manipulate people and get what we want and have people see us in ways that we want. And that's all versions of like witchcraft in the way that it was explained to us. So I think this is a really fun season. I think this is probably the wildest episode of the season because we went on some really wild tangents. But thanks for listening, everyone. And please continue to listen to the Frequency Shifter Show and share it with your friends. And if you have any thoughts about technology, addiction, you want to share anything, like reach out to us, but not over technology. Put a note in a bottle and drop it in the ocean, and hopefully it will get to us one day.
I might start, requiring a messenger pigeon.
Yeah.
Rival your flip phone.
A raven. We'll start training ravens.
All right.
All right, everybody.
I stick with Apple, but thanks everybody for tuning in, and keep raising your frequency out there. We'll see you back in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Frequency Shifters. We really hope that you got some value, you learned something, and that there's something from this episode that you can take away and use in your life. Who are you thinking of right now that needs to hear this episode? Please share it with them. Share this on social media, subscribe and like and leave a comment. And please, if you have a comment or an idea or something that you want us to talk about or investigate, leave it online and we will go into those and bring you that information. Please like, share, and subscribe, and we will see you next time.